We're back. We're finally back. This is episode 10.
The long wait is over.
Yeah. Episode 10 of the Book Boys podcast, you know, with Max and Alva. It's been a long time. We're probably going on like 3 or 4 months now since the last recording. Well, we had, you know, our end of year exams, and then we both got into a lot of
stress.
I wouldn't say stress. I just mean a lot of things happened since the last time we recorded a podcast. And now,
that's a fair point.
Interestingly enough, the last podcast was us just kind of talking about, well, not books.
Yeah, the interlude. Yeah, doesn't have as many views as the other one. We might not do another one of those.
Yeah. Well, we promised this whole big podcast with our Italian friend, and we'd compare all these movies and books and stuff, but we just, you know, he's now living in a different city in Holland, and we aren't going to really get to see him anytime soon, and we also just didn't watch the movies or read the books.
Well, I found the book.
We watched the movies. Yeah.
I mean, the movie that we wanted to analyze. But we haven't read the book, so we might read the book at a later date.
We'll see
how it goes, because I understand that we both saw the movie.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad that we did.
What did you think?
I just want to address that, you know, I feel bad that we promised this whole big thing and now these people aren't going to get it.
Me too, but then, like, we've grown as well, you know? We've gone through some stuff.
Yeah, so I just wanted to say that quickly, like, a lot has happened. That podcast's not going to happen. We want to go back to just reviewing books. We both moved to a new city, the same city, coincidentally. And we're starting university soon. Have you had your first class?
No, but I've been there and I've had
it. Sorry, nothing that counts.
Okay, well, why don't you talk a little bit about your fucking future at this university?
Yeah.
Well,
so
what subject are you studying?
I'm studying English, language, and culture is what it's called. I was first going to do international business. I think we probably talked about that in the past.
I think so.
But I was going to do international business and then I failed. I failed a math exam.
I'm
realizing now I didn't really want to study business anyway. And I'm doing English, which, you know, for the purpose of this podcast, is great.
You're going to have a lot of insights, you know. You better hit me up with those book recommendations.
So I think that'll be an asset to the podcast. Oh, why don't you tell us a little something about your journey to this university and what course?
Well, essentially, my first choice was to study English literature in Scotland, but I mean,
was it English literature?
It was always law. No.
Yeah.
In Scotland, it was English because I was like English speaking country, you know, really good teachers, all that stuff. So I was like really passionate about that. But then it was like, I was pretty sure I wasn't going to get the high enough grades, but I put it on because I was like, if I get them, might as well go.
You have to get what, 35?
36.
36, wow.
I ended up getting 30, spoiler alert.
World average is 30. So you can kind of get an idea for what 36 is like.
Yeah, it's quite a lot.
Yeah,
but my second choice was, of course, here. And luckily enough, Max happened to come here too. So
yeah.
You know, the podcast lives on.
Yeah, we wanted to do it anyway, but this, like, when we're actually in person, it's obviously a lot easier to keep it going.
Exactly. I'll be doing international law and international and European law.
Is it international and European?
Yeah.
I thought it was just European.
No, international and European. I'm interested in it, but I don't know if I'll enjoy it a lot.
Do you think of yourself as like you'd maybe pursue a career in law at some point?
I'd find it very interesting, you know, because it's like international as well. It's like you can go to other countries, you know.
But you have expressed to me a lot of aspirations to be an author.
Yeah, that too. But I'll definitely.
Is that something you'd rather do than be a lawyer?
Yeah, I think so. But I don't necessarily think that you need to study to be an author, because I'm just definitely going to write something on the side. If it works, you know, I'm happy about it, I'll stop, you know, doing whatever job I do. If it doesn't, I'll just, you know, keep writing on the side.
Okay.
I'm not putting pressure on my writing.
You know? Also, you know, we're just starting university. You might not even finish this whole course and then you switch to something else after the first year.
We'll exactly. Yeah, I'll see.
But yeah, so that's kind of where we're at right now. It's Groningen for anyone who cares, in Holland.
Mm.
I first also wanted to go to Scotland.
Really? Oh yeah, but then you didn't even apply. You came up to me one day, you're like,
yeah.
I didn't apply.
And I had to get 32 points for that. I got 31, but I wasn't trying, and for this I only had to get 24 for this university.
Yeah.
But without really studying that hard, I could have almost gotten into that university. And the main reason I didn't apply is because I didn't think I'd get in.
Well, that's an unfortunate attempt. You could have committed always, you know?
Yeah, I guess so. You know, I was a little preoccupied at the time.
Fair point.
And also, it's just hard to wait your before.
I don't know if you heard that, but loud.
There's a big
female
door
scream.
Open right now.
Yeah.
And it's very warm. It's very
humid. We are sweating.
Yeah. But it is like evening time.
Yeah.
But that's why we pointed out.
I'm looking forward to that rain tomorrow, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's going to rain tomorrow. Let's pray. You were just in France alone for like
2-3 weeks. I think
it was a month. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a long time.
Quite an experience.
So why don't you tell? Because we didn't really go into depth about the things that you did read, but you said you did read a lot.
I read a lot. I watched a lot of movies as well because I had a lot of free time.
Yeah.
So I was like, mainly read a lot of classic books. I'd say I read the one that Max gave me, the Crime and Punishment by Dostoevsky. It's quite
that
a classic.
Really is a classic.
It was enjoyable but very hard to read. It's very like
you
got to commit to it.
Hard in what way?
It's very focused. Like, if you skip a line, like, what am I reading? You know?
Right.
It's very in-depth in the mind of the criminal guy. Do you know the plot a little bit?
I'm not familiar with it at all. I just knew it was a classic. That's why I bought it.
Well, essentially, it's this guy who's not happy in his student life, kind of like us, you know? And he's like, why am I poor? Why are other people rich? You know? He's a law student. And he goes to this woman, this old woman who lent him money, and he kills her and steals her money.
Okay.
And essentially the whole book is him feeling guilty and then him being like, I'm a god, you know, I killed this. And it's like the perfect crime. Nobody knows it's him.
Right.
And throughout the book...
Is a big part of the book him stealing that money from her?
No, it's like, I'd say one chapter is like detailed explanation of like the fight and like how awkward.
Right.
And luckily he escapes and like nobody sees him, but his like guilt... Eats him out. the whole book.
Eats him out. You mean eats him out?
Eats him from the inside out.
Okay, that's
yeah, that works. That works.
Not his first language, you know.
I have an excuse.
It's not my first language either.
You want to do this Dutch?
No thanks.
But yeah, and especially at the end, he keeps giving out these clues, like because he feels so guilty. He's like, I'm gonna like hint at this guy that I'm a criminal. I
right.
did it. And people start asking questions, and then at the end he goes to prison.
Oh.
That's the conclusion. Spoiler.
Yeah, we'll plot right there. And what else? What else did you read? Or did that take up a lot of your time?
No, I read all this stuff. I read the Finnish author more.
Oh, that you haven't finished that yet?
No, I'm done, yeah.
Okay.
But I read more of his books.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I read, he's called Arto Pasimilina. He died actually pretty recently, I found that. Kind of sad, but yeah. I love his writing. I've read like five of his books.
Did he originally write it in Finnish? And then
translated
it
to French. Yeah.
Oh, you read it in French.
Because it's my dad, essentially. He went to go study there.
It's your dad?
I think he did. No, my dad, yeah.
He went to study, right.
He went to study,
okay.
So he loves Finland. I mean, loves. He had a good time there, and
sure.
he found this author there.
And did he read all these books before you did?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's interesting because with Paul Auster, my dad was the one who recommended it.
It's pretty similar, but
yeah.
But yeah, I love that he's very, it flows a lot, you know,
right.
So it's very good.
Kind of opposite from, what is it,
Dostoevsky? Yeah, kind of, yeah. It's super simple. It's like, this guy went there because he was hungry.
Just out of curiosity, where would you place Norwegian Wood in that? Would you say that's a very book where you can just kind of skip little parts and it's just a big
Well, you can do that. I feel like it depends on your mood.
It's essential to read everything with a lot of attention.
I don't think so.
No, right?
That's the point. It's kind of like a poem. You know,
you
get the essential idea of it.
Hmm.
And I also read quite a few fantasy books, kind of throwing back to my childhood when I used to read it all the time. I was thinking about this. Fantasy books are kind of like, you know, the action movies of books. It's not really deep most of the time. And sometimes
maybe not action movies, but then it's more comparable to just superhero movies.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
It's not really... Yeah, but occasionally you get that good fucking fantasy book and it's like, wow, this is crazy.
What, do you have a mainstream example of that?
No.
Would you say The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings books fit into that?
I guess so.
Did you read The Hobbit?
Yeah. No, not The Hobbit. I read Lord of the Rings. Because
really?
The Hobbit is like a really short book.
It's not that short. I have it. It's like 200 pages.
Oh, yeah, but compared to The Lord of the Rings...
Oh, how
like,
long is that? And how many
The Lord of the Rings is like a brick.
And it's a, is it one book?
No, three.
Yeah, it's three. That's
and they made like three movies out of Bilbo, I mean The Hobbit book, which is one book that's smaller than all three.
They made three movies?
Three movies of The Hobbit, yeah.
Oh, wow. I thought... Are you sure about that? Isn't there just one movie called The Hobbit?
And no, that's it? There's The Hobbit, then there's, like... I think the first one's called The Journey.
Oh, right, and there's one with...
The last one is The Five Armies, it's called. The Battle of the Five Armies.
The Dragon, right?
Yeah, those are the two last ones.
Right, but is that Battle with the Dragon, is that in the last...
It starts in the second, it ends in the second. It's like the dragon flies...
It's like Harry Potter and Voldemort gets the Elder Wand when he's standing over the grave.
And that's yeah, the end, and then it ends, yeah.
One. Yeah.
It's the same thing. Speaking of Harry Potter, you know, maybe we should make a podcast on that as well.
Yeah, we might just do that later on, because we think this is going to be, you know, a long podcast. We really have a lot of freedom. We were kind of confined to free periods in the past. So we might just kind of drift onto the subject of Harry Potter.
Casually.
You know, as the... Well, I guess that's just nostalgia. That is why we want to talk about that now.
We're both very passionate about it, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. But I haven't watched all the movies, and I haven't read all the books in several years.
Oh, yeah. I just rewatched the movies.
All of them?
With my brother and sister.
You watch every single one?
Yeah, one a day for a week, for 8 days.
Really? That's great.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Was that in France?
Yeah.
But when I was there, you only had...
Yeah, but we had Wi-Fi, so we watched them online.
Oh, I see.
The ones that we didn't have on DVD, we watched
them. I've only watched like part one and two, and I guess three and four as well, within the span of the last year. And I thought those were a little disappointing.
Which one? The one, two, three.
The one, two, three, four. I thought.
Ooh, even four?
Yeah, even. I bet people love four.
Which one's four?
Goblet of Fire.
Oh, I love
it.
Yeah, that.
People love four, and I don't get it. I used to think it was exciting, too, because the tribe was a tournament. You're like...
Yeah, and Mad-Eye Moody is such a cool character.
Do you think so? I think that whole storyline with him being...
Barty Crouch?
Yeah, that's... Come on, you know.
I love it.
Like, oh, here's a big twist for you. I loved five, and people don't... People
Which,
really don't like five.
The half...
That's one where they go into the... what's it called? The Room of Mystery or something.
Order of the Phoenix?
And there's... Yeah, Order of the Phoenix, and it's with the prophecy thing. It's where they first hear
about
the prophecy.
Yeah, that's Order of the Phoenix, yeah, I think.
But you remember that they go into that big room with all the prophecies?
Yeah, but that's... I really like that scene.
I just really like that movie.
I think my favorite movie...
Sirius Black is he's like one of my favorite characters.
Yeah, my brother loves him.
Yeah. Do you not like him?
I think he's cool, but he's not my favorite character.
Who's your favorite character?
I really like Snape.
Yikes, dude.
He's the most interesting character. He's like annoying the whole movie, and then you realize he's the best guy, you know?
What about Dumbledore?
Yeah, Dumbledore is the worst.
What?
Who is a fan of Dumbledore, dude?
You don't like Dumbledore?
I think he's okay. I don't think he's great. It's like he's always the same, you know?
Are you kidding me? I think he's... Yeah, because he's so old and experienced, and he
knows. The thing that I really like about him is the every time he predicts stuff. Like, he knows what to say. And his speech in the beginning every time, you know, when they're in the big hall... Every time it's like
he's a sign of like security and authority.
He's like a foreshadowing character, you know. He knows what's gonna happen.
Yeah. Well, I always liked him very much.
He's really cool.
Like that actor too.
Oh, the second one or the first one?
The second one.
I wanted to mention that the change of actors. What do you think of that?
I didn't notice it in the movies.
Really?
But I was quite young when I watched it the first time. And then I heard about it later and. I think he died, right?
Yeah. I have the story about it.
But I just didn't... I just really like Dumbledore from movie 3 onwards.
Oh, okay. So you like that second act. Because the first actor didn't really want to do it. And then his grandkids were like, Granddad, you gotta be Dumbledore. And he was like, okay, I'll do
really?
It.
Really?
And then...
Because they read the books.
Yeah, they loved it.
Right. Have you seen those audition tapes?
Yeah, they're so good. Yeah. With Harry Potter as well. I mean, Radcliffe is so good.
Daniel Radcliffe, yeah.
But yeah, and then he died second movie, so they were like, they changed. But I think the change is so good, because first and second movie...
They don't address it at all.
They don't address it, but I feel like the change of character, the way he's acted is really good.
Yeah.
It's like, the first two, he's kind of like this good guy, grandpa, kind of kid movie
But you
magician.
Don't really feel that he has power. He feels like a magician.
Yeah, but it's good. Yeah, I feel like it's good, because the first two movies are kind of like kid books, kid movies.
I see what you're
saying.
Yeah, but then you watch that scene of them when, what's his name? The turban teacher.
Oh, Professor Quirrell.
Yeah, and then the back of his head is all...
Ooh,
that, you know that scene?
That's scary. Yeah, but in the book...
And it doesn't get that scary again until...
The spiders.
Goblet of Fire. Everyone has arachnophobia. Is that what it's called? I think
yeah.
so. But come on, like...
The basilisk scene.
But that's just a snake.
Dude, it's pretty scary. When he's blind and he's like smelling Harry.
You think that's scary?
Well, I was a kid, I thought that was scary as hell. I was like, whoa.
And then again, more of a focus on Quidditch throughout the whole, just the whole franchise.
The most disappointing thing of the entire movie was the World Cup.
The World Cup.
Oh my god. It's described so well in the book. And it's
about to say, they do talk about
Victor Krum, like, is so good. And they describe the whole thing. But then it's like...
I remember I was so excited for that movie.
Me too, because I was like, this scene is going to be crazy. And then what's the Minister of Magic? Fudge is like... Let the games begin, and then it fades out.
And it goes up throughout.
And then I'm like, okay, we're gonna see some Victor Krum action, you know? And then no, it pans out to the tents. I'm like,
yeah. Then there's something back at the tents. Yeah. It's like, yeah, they just focus on the bad things that start happening in the darkness.
Yeah, but I would have made the movie longer just to get a little scene of that. You know? I guess maybe the expense as well would have been
really
expensive.
Yeah, it would have been really expensive.
That entire like stadium looks crazy.
Yeah, there's just a lot of like CGI in it.
But there's a bunch of stuff that's good. Like I remember specifically like Fred Weasley having a bet with I think Ron on who would win, and in the end Ireland wins, but with Romania getting the snitch.
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
Which I thought was so good. You know, it's like Victor Krum's good. But
and
like,
even there's this whole thing they describe in the books where they're buying these like binoculars.
Yeah, and because they're really high up.
So fascinating, and then in the movie they have them, sure, but you don't see them buying it or talking about it.
I do like how they mention the tent, how the tent's really big on the inside, though, because I like that in the book. When Harry's like, whoa, I love magic.
Yeah, they do mention it in the book.
Yeah, because they, yeah, it's so good. And my brother is now rereading the books.
Has he read them in the past?
Just reading them.
For the first time?
Mm. And I'm very excited about it. He's loving it. He's like third one.
My sister's in the sixth book.
Oh my god. And he's younger as well.
She reads them, and then she reads them again in English.
That's so good.
Yeah, it's great.
My brother just reads in English.
She loves it so much.
We have the really old version of the books.
Your brother reads in English?
Yeah.
Really?
Because we have the English books that my parents bought when they arrived in England when I was a baby.
Are they really nice copies?
Yeah, they're really nice. But also, they're in the first and second ones, my dad, like, because he didn't speak great English, he'd take notes in the book, like, this is what this word means and stuff.
He's like the Half-Blood Prince.
Exactly. And it's so cool. It's like, and there's so many random, like, broom. He's like, what is this?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, because he just doesn't know the English.
Yeah, exactly. He bought the book to learn English. I mean, he had lessons in school.
Your parents didn't speak English when you got to England?
They spoke a bit, but like French schools don't teach English that well. Don't teach English that well.
Yeah, nor do Dutch schools.
But Dutch people speak a lot better English than French. Than French.
Yeah, that's true.
You walk into like a boulangerie, and they're like, they won't even try to speak English.
No. That boulangerie that morning in Nice was so great. Remember that? That was exactly... We just went this. And me and Eloi had both been watching this guy on YouTube called Alex French Guy Cooking, and he had this whole croissant series where he goes around Paris and like shows you all his favorite ones and goes to a bakery and then makes it himself. Anyway, with that like kind of pretty freshly in our mind at that point, and we were talking about it.
Yeah, we just talked about it.
We slept on the street.
Maybe we should provide a little context. We did an interrailing trip, which is a train trip. Essentially, it's free.
It's throughout Europe.
But it's like throughout Europe and...
Very expensive. Really not worth it.
It was very expensive. No, it was a good trip. We had good experiences, you know.
I don't know. Well, I personally didn't enjoy it very much. But, you know, it's great if you did. Anyway, we were sleeping on the beach of Nice one night because we didn't want to pay for a hostel.
Yeah.
And then...
One of our group and then like members left us to go to a hostel.
Oh, you don't have to bring that up. And then at like 6 in the morning...
We were with a girl as well. Yeah. So it was me, Max, and Daisy.
Yeah. This bakery opened at 6 a.m. And we were just so hungry. We didn't have any food. We were so tired.
Daisy was the worst. She was like shaking and stuff.
Yeah.
So was I, to be honest. Was it cold or warm?
No,
I think
it was really
cold. I was really cold.
Yeah.
I was like... I remember
we were shivering.
We were waiting in front of the boulangerie, and I was like, I went into this little doorway. There was like this building that was open, and so I just stepped into the door, and I was stressing out. I was like, are the people going to yell at me for standing here?
Yeah, it was really
cold. I was just so cold.
And then it finally opened, and it was so warm, and I got a coffee, and a pain au chocolat, and a chocolatine, and a croissant, and it was just...
It was bliss.
Great, yeah.
They were warm as well, because they'd just been cooked.
And then after that, the sun started to rise, and we went to the beach. And I even went for a little swim. It was a nice, the rest of that was nice, is what I'm trying to say.
It was a good ending, let's say.
Yeah.
How did that even come up? What do you think of Mad-Eye Moody as a character?
I like that he comes back later when he's actually Mad-Eye Moody, and I think that's in 6 when they take him from the Dursley's house to
and he has a sick broom.
Yeah. And they like all look like Harry. I don't know what they think.
No, that's a later movie. I mix that up too. The first time Mad-Eye Moody comes to get him, he comes with just the auras, and they fly out in brooms together.
Yeah, but they all look like Harry Potter.
No, that's later. You're mixing up.
With the auras, yeah, and he tricks them because they have to go to like this plant or garden convention. The Dursleys go to like a garden convention.
I don't remember that.
Okay, well.
No, but there's the first time Mad-Eye Moody, they don't dress up as Harry. They just go as themselves.
Okay.
And then later they come get him, and then they put on the disguise.
Right.
Yeah, and then I remember Mad-Eye Moody's like stay in formation.
What I was trying to say is that I liked him then.
Yeah.
But in book 4, I was.
When it wasn't him.
Maybe that's just a credit to how well the.
To how well the actor. Maybe he did.
I don't know if he had that in mind though. Like I shouldn't.
But
really
he seems
like
such an interesting character though. I'd love to have like a book on him. You know. Like how did he get that eye? Or.
What about like? But I'd like to read a book about like Luna Lovegood's dad.
Dude, he's crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
like that would be more interesting.
When they go to his house,
That's such a crazy scene that happens in that house. And there's like this horn they're talking about, and it like explodes. Remember that? There's like this. I don't know. They talk about this like it's not a goat horn, but it's that type of thing.
Mm.
And then they say like, well, they go into this secret room that Luna has, and there's like all these drawings of Harry.
I think this is only in the books then.
Yeah, it is.
In the movie, they have this cool animation about the Elder Wand and stuff though. When he tells the story of the Deathly Hallows.
But he's not the one that... Is he?
Yeah, he's the one who tells the story.
But they also keep him in the house.
It's Hermione. She reads out from her book.
And that's when they do it?
Yeah.
That's when they show that animation?
He's like, where's the Deathly... What's the Deathly Hallows? And then he's like, he gets the little necklace.
No, is it a goblin from Gringotts? And he tells them about it. Is that... Or no. But they do keep him for some reason, right?
The Gringotts goblin.
Yeah, they want
they go to a bank with him, remember? And they go get the... And then they fly out of the dragon.
Hermione is transfigured as...
As Bellatrix Lestrange.
That's right.
Also, Bellatrix Lestrange. What a crazy actress, dude.
Is she French?
No.
I feel like
the actress...
Is she English?
I think she's American. She's married. She was married...
That's a mosquito.
It's gone. I'm never going to pick up what I put on. When I put on the mosquito now, it's probably trying to get out. Mm-hmm. What were we saying?
The actress, Bellatrix Lestrange.
Yeah, she was married. I don't know if she's still married, but she was married to Tim Burton. I don't know if you know.
Oh, really? He's director,
like,
right?
Yeah, the director who does a bunch of gothic movies.
Did he do Harry Potter?
No,
right?
But she was married.
Did they change directors in Harry Potter? Do you know?
Maybe Deathly Hallows Part 1, Part 2. I don't know. But they changed every movie except the last 3, I'd say.
They change every movie? Because I was about to bring up, I think it's Star Wars, every 2 movies they switch.
Yeah, no, Harry Potter was every movie except the last 3, I think it was.
Are you sure?
Yeah, you can search it up, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, and the crazy, the best movie is The Prisoner of Azkaban.
What?
Yeah.
That's one of the worst movies.
I thought of that, but then I watched it again, and I thought it was really good. There are a bunch of little things that are put in there. Mostly, not really the story, but the filmography is the best.
Cinematography.
The cinematography.
Yeah, who cares about the cinematography?
Some shots in there are so good.
Have you
I don't
seen
know
that
if you
movie,
know.
Is it called Hugo, where the kid's in the train station? And
it's an alcohol, dude. Hugo?
Do you know the movie I'm talking about, where there's a kid in the train station?
Is it Les Misérables?
No.
This guy called Hugo.
Then I would have said that.
Victor Hugo?
No, it's just called Hugo, the movie.
I don't think I've seen it.
Is it
an English movie?
I think it's set in
France. Why did you bring it up?
Because of what you said about the cinematography of Prisoner of Azkaban.
Oh, and Hugo is really good?
Yeah, it's really good. Or I think so, anyway.
But let's get back to the movie. There's a really cool scene where... the Father Weasley, what's his name?
Yeah, that's one of those people I can never remember.
Fred George, the dad?
Fred George.
Mr. Weasley, dude. That's his
yeah,
name.
That's
come
his
on.
Name.
Okay, well, he's talking to Mr. Weasley.
Isn't it Arthur? Yeah.
Oh, it is. Well, good job. They're in this, like, bar kind of place, and he tells him about Sirius Black. And they kind
yeah,
of like,
they're
leaning against this pole at one point, and the poster's there.
Okay, yeah, it's
such a good. It's a. There's no cuts in that scene.
It's
What do you think of that?
It's Diagon Alley, the bar right before that. That's where he meets Professor Quirrell for the first time as well.
Oh, maybe. Oh, yeah.
Because they're about to leave.
Well, that scene is crazy.
Or no, they're there to do shopping, and then they happen
yeah.
to run into each other.
Yeah, and he's like, "Hi, very nice to meet you."
Yeah. And then, but he says, like, be careful that he might come looking for you. Like, don't go looking for him. Because
yeah.
he knows that he's going to find
yeah.
out.
But that's, well, that scene is a work of art, dude. You need to rewatch that scene.
Is it a one-taker?
Yeah. So good, dude. Like, Arthur Weasley brings him behind
just
the
just one take.
And then he moves towards
yeah,
the camera.
I remember the scene very well.
So good. I think I've watched a video essay on it.
By Nerdwriter?
Maybe. I like that guy. Did you see his video on the sound of magic?
No.
It's like the sound effects that the wands make in Harry Potter.
Oh, really? I think
it's
that's
so
been
cool.
recommended.
They change every time there's a new director, I think. Or maybe the first two movies have the same.
The sound of the wand changes?
Yeah, like the it's like a whoosh or a, it's very weird. You don't notice it until you actually watch that video.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
And then you notice it after?
Yeah. The first two movies, it's like a kind of a childish sound, and then that third movie, The Prisoner of Azkaban, which I said was one of the best in film cinematography wise.
Is that your opinion or is that someone else's opinion?
I agree with the opinion.
Okay.
I didn't come up with it, but I thought it was a great opinion. The sound of the wands drastically change in that movie. They become kind of like whoosh, like ghost sound. You know?
Hmm.
And I thought that was really cool.
And does that sound effect get darker throughout all of the movies?
I feel like.
Is it, does it
probably
become more
not,
intimidating?
But
no?
I feel like that movie is what launches like the dark movies, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I like that movie a lot. It's like they needed that transition.
Wait, you think Prisoner of Azkaban?
That's where it gets kind of dark.
Yeah,
with the Dementors.
But are you really trying to tell me that that Goblet of Fire is a dark movie? Like, sure, there's the whole Cedric Diggory thing, but like
that is dark.
Five
a guy
minutes.
Dies, dude.
Like
no one's
minutes.
Ever died before.
Professor Quirrell died.
Yeah, but he's...
That Tom Riddle guy. Tom Riddle.
Yeah, but they're bad guys. It doesn't matter. And they don't even die. They kind of fade.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Cedric Diggory actually... It's like, oh, dude,
after
died.
After that, the guns are loose.
Yeah,
everybody people all over.
Died. Yeah. What do you think of Remus Lupin and his girlfriend dying? Dude? What's up with that?
Yeah, I forgot that they died.
They both die, and
I really
freaked
liked
out.
The his girlfriend. What was her name?
Yeah, the Tonks.
Tonks, yeah, but her
Fedora.
Name is Fedora, yeah.
Yeah, who changes her hair color according to me. You like her? Yeah. In the book, she's a
well,
lot better.
What is it? I don't know what it's called, but she can, like, change her appearance into anything she wants.
Yeah, like, she has a pig nose. Pig nose.
Yeah,
one.
That's a whole joke that
yeah.
Hermione really likes in Ginny. And they're like, pig nose.
Hey, how about Ginny? What do you think of that?
I mean, yeah, she's obviously there as, like, the young, attractive girl.
Mm.
But there's not a whole lot of depth to her character.
I feel like she just... appears at one point. It's like, oh, he likes her now.
And from the beginning, she's always been like, oh, Harry, you know. And then
that's,
I guess
I do find
the,
that pretty cool.
There's
yeah.
the little character arc where she has those
she's
like,
really
two
shy.
Different boyfriends.
Yeah,
and really, Ron gets upset about
he's
it.
Like, he's like, they're snogging. In Hogsmeade.
And since we're, I think we look from Harry's perspective at everything, right?
Yeah.
Because of that, it's a nice because obviously a lot of people would grow up while reading these books, and it kind of follows that transition nicely of like. Because we're constantly in him. First, he likes Cho Chang, and then he's like, "Oh,
Cho Chang." Dude.
And then he's like, "There's
whoa.
A monster."
I was in love with Cho Chang.
Really?
I read
didn't
like
her.
Whoa, Yo Cho.
I thought they picked a great actress, though.
Really? I disagree.
You
I don't like her at all. She was so like
what
attractive
about,
in my head.
What about that scene where they're in the
Owlery place?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I can like that.
She's like, sorry, Harry. She's like Scottish.
Yeah,
it doesn't make any sense.
I told you,
it's like an Asian girl, but then
like
Scottish.
Full British.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, would you like to go to the dance with me? And she's like, what?
Yeah.
And she's like,
yeah.
Would you like to go to the dance with me? She's like, I'm sorry, Harry. You know,
exactly.
What's going on, dude?
Yeah.
Those things are really attractive, though. But she's the one who gives in Dumbledore's army.
Yeah, she's in there.
Yeah, but
because
she's the one who
she
gives
likes
it up.
Because she only does it because she likes Harry.
Yeah, but then she gives it up to Professor Umbridge. She's the one who tells on
is
him.
Is she?
Yeah.
But they force it.
But and at the end of the movie, Snape is like, you used all of my truth-telling potion on that Cho girl. And that's when you're like, oh, Cho didn't actually tell. She, like, got used.
Oh, right. Okay.
Like, she was
forced. And at that point, I feel like I remember Snape being kind of like, mm-hmm. Yeah, you guys keep, like, putting this potion in people, and it's kind of wrong. You know? That's kind of the
vibe. I love it, dude. When, and then Harry, he's, like, in, like, Professor Umbridge's office. You remember that scene? And then yeah, Harry turns to him and he's like, he's got Padfoot. And then
in Umbridge's office?
Yeah, yeah. And Umbridge's like, what is she talking about? Because Padfoot is like the code name for Sirius Black. And then Snape's like, I have no idea. And then he walks up. But Snape fucking knows, dude.
Yeah.
That's why I love him.
I guess there's a lot of good things there where they...
You know that scene when they're in detention? Or they're in the school, like, working area? Hermione, Ron, and Harry, and they keep talking, and he keeps hitting their head,
yeah,
and at the end, he's like,
yeah,
he pulls his sleeves down, and he's like, yeah. Bang! That's such a good scene.
That's hilarious. That's
and Harry's kind of, like, smiling, so you know it's, like, everyday school life. So good.
I love the scene. Yeah.
It's so well done.
And then the whole thing, I always loved, especially in the movies, the food.
Oh!
The way in the dialogue. And
in
just
the,
feel
you mean
like
in the book?
What a rich world. In
or
the book, yeah, actually, I do mean the book, because
yeah.
You would describe it
because
so
movie just
kind of
appears, but in the book, it's like,
and she's
like, melted in his mouth and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, but she's
like,
also like, oh, there were potatoes, and like, lamb, and donuts,
and it's
and
like, typical English food, and you're like,
yeah.
Ooh!
But all, like, perfectly made.
Yeah, and I remember one time they arrived late, and he's like, I started biting into as many stuff as I could, but it disappeared in my mouth, and I was like, that's such a
really?
Thing. Because at the end of
the
dinner, it disappears.
Yeah. I always loved the Great Hall scene.
Me too. There's so with the sky that changes, and when Moody comes in and he's like, what does he say? Stupid ceiling or something. Like,
yeah, something along those lines.
And then he like lives to his.
What
ceiling.
Do you think about that scene where Harry has to like force feed that potion to Dumbledore?
It's
tough to
it's
watch.
It's heart wrenching.
But it's also
like, no.
It really shows the actor who's playing Dumbledore. He's
so
one
good,
old, but also one old man.
Yeah.
Like the way he's laying there, is like
he
this.
Shrinks down. He's
yeah.
Oh. He looks, and then like 2 seconds later, he's like flame throwing all the zombies.
Yeah, he like finally gets up. That's so cool.
That's
dude,
such a cool
yeah.
scene. And Harry's like looking at him like.
The trailer.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
I never watched the trailer.
You know what else is in the trailer?
What?
The Slughorn being a chair. And like, you know that scene?
His
like,
feet are like.
You
like,
gave me a big fright.
He's like, broom, and his like arm like pops out.
And then we see the true power of Reparo for the first time.
Oh, yeah, and he's got
the little thing
lantern.
The lamp,
that was not in the book. I'm telling you right now, that was such a good addition by the director.
Of course not, yeah.
And also, when we're really going on a rant about how good this is, you know when they're in this, when Harry's in the station alone, and then the train goes by,
yeah.
And Dumbledore appears and then disappears and then appears next to him.
I thought that was an odd scene. Because
yeah,
it was
but
so
scene,
weird to see Harry out in the real
yeah,
world.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
it's,
I saw it. Magic,
the,
like
the ad is
like
magic. It's
yeah.
So good. And the waitress that he flirts with, I thought that's such a cool scene. He's like. She's like, I get off at 6, and he's like, I'll be there.
11, dude. She gets off at 11. But I'd like to see him pursue that and see what happens there.
Yeah, but the thing, that's the whole thing.
I love all of the scenes when they're in a tent camping out. All of that.
And all of them, some of them get pretty long, you know? You're kind of like, oh, why am I showing me this shot of these kids hiking?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. It was good pacing. But when we were talking about recording this podcast,
okay.
We were talking about that they keep the... Horcrux around their neck.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And I
think that's not plausible.
Well, it like it's such a big plot point, and it really like disturbs Ron, and that's why he kind of.
It really. I watched it. I watched
it
that movie.
It fits the plot so much, but I just.
I watched the movie.
Why don't they just take it off? Is my question.
I watched the movie after I watched Lord of the Rings, and it's exactly they have the ring around their neck.
But why? Why do they need to have it around their?
I
neck?
Guess it's like.
Why can't they just put it in one of their bags?
Well, maybe they're scared that it's gonna get stolen.
Yeah, but if come on. Like
if come on, nice okay, I see what you mean. It
yeah.
is what I really hate about the movie. That movie, I really hate that movie, and the main reason for that is the reason how they get found. You know they're always putting these enchantments.
Is it the like bounty hunter people?
Yeah, but in the book they get found because somebody in the tent says Voldemort, and the name is attached to like a curse, and they know where you are immediately when you say Voldemort.
Is that not, why would they not do that?
That's what I was like, why? And they find, and they just find them after they teleported someone. It's such a weird plot point. A
lot of bad things there, but what about that scene when they go back to where Harry was born and it's all snowy and they're by the graves.
I freaked out when the snake, I still do. When the old lady turned into
snow. I know, but before that, it's so sketchy. It's such a nice scene when he's looking at the grave and there's snow all
over. Yeah, but then that lady is looking at him and she's like, Harry, she's looking at us. And
yeah.
Harry turns around and it's like this fucking creepy lady.
Just you telling me about it kind of makes
it. It really freaks me out. Yeah, even thinking about it now, oof. And she doesn't talk because she's the snake. Nagini.
Those are good movies.
Yeah. Really.
I mean, I guess we can talk about No Country for Old Men for a bit.
That's a fair point.
Well, you watched it. I watched it like 2 weeks ago.
I watched it maybe a week ago.
Tell me your thoughts.
I think that the main attraction for this movie is, of course, the acting. Cause it's absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, the way the characters are portrayed is just so interesting.
But what about the overall storyline?
The storyline is also, it's quite different to what you're usually used to.
Yeah, but it is also so unrealistic.
Yeah, but there's also no backstory to it. It's like a moment in their life. There's no, like, this is
right.
What this guy was doing before, this is what they're doing after. It's just,
you're
given a part.
Always chronological order, no
yeah.
flashbacks, no flash forwards.
Yeah, there are no
yeah.
flashbacks, which I think is a kind of a refreshing tone.
But it's so interesting how they go from like this wild west type of situation
to like,
a town.
Yeah.
And there's like roads and cars and
the really
border.
Like,
so weird because
yeah.
when you see the like wild west thing, you think, oh, this is like
1800s. Typical cowboy.
But just a lot earlier. But
yeah.
then there's a town. So then you're like, oh, this could be like, you know, 2000.
Or I really like that scene where the main character, the first time you see him, he's like sniping some. Some
what is
cow?
That gun?
So
that
cool.
gun is so scary.
So cool.
And he blows locks off with it. And
oh,
the
I was thinking about the sniper. He like goes hunting. The good guy.
Oh yeah, no,
he goes hunting.
And he misses, right?
Yeah, but he hits him in the leg, and then he goes like, and then.
Oh really?
I really like that scene.
Yeah.
Because he's like, and his boot is like balancing the
right,
gun.
Right.
But that gun.
But then I'm like, and then suddenly he just gets a real gun. And I'm just thinking, this looks
like a
pretty...
He gets like a fat shotgun with a silencer on it.
But I'm like, this looks like a pretty, like, great weapon, the air gun. Why'd you just keep that? It's silent.
Yeah, the air gun, yeah. And nobody knows how...
But he kills the guy in the car with it.
That's so scary.
Like, what? That's the first thing you see of the, like, antagonist, really.
No, right after he strangles that policeman, that's the first thing.
No, but he goes into custody after he blows that guy's...
No, it happens
he
after.
Does.
I'm so sure.
Oh,
and then he steals
right.
that guy's car.
You're right. See, I used to see him more recently than I have.
Yeah, but that strangling scene as well is horrific. Wait,
it
you see the guy's legs?
Of the strangling scene in Breaking Bad.
Yeah, it's pretty... It's
you
like,
remember that in the first season? You watched it a long time ago, right?
The first season was
first season, and then Walt strangles this guy. That's the first person he ever kills.
The strangling...
Oh, no, Jesse does it.
Yeah, with the lock?
With the lock, that's
yeah.
right. It reminded me of that.
That was a really hard to watch.
You remember where Jane dies?
Oh, that is... I love Jane.
Me too.
I love that actress as well.
But how scary is that scene
it's
where
so
Walter's
rough.
Standing there and he's crying and then he walks away and then she's just... And when he's trying to, like, revalidate...
No, doesn't he not do anything?
No, he tries to, like... What is CPR, I think it's called? Yeah, it's called CPR. He tries to do the CPR and then it just zooms in on her face and her eyes are, like, red and bulging and there's, like, some... Vomit, like a dry strand of vomit coming out of her mouth.
So
and
bad.
She's so obviously dead. Like, and he's just like this, and then he starts crying. It's such an intense scene, but it's so.
And also, his name Jesse.
Yeah, that's this guy who I was just talking about.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Walter White.
Yeah, he's the one who sees the girl die. But
yeah, but he doesn't do anything.
No.
Oh, I thought you were saying he does the CPR. Yeah. I love how Walter doesn't do anything at all.
Yeah,
he kind of looks on.
My brother said he watched Breaking Bad again, and then he was very much against Walter.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people say that. The more you watch it, the more you're against Walter.
But when I watched it the first time,
you're like,
towards the
so
very
badass.
End, I rooted for him.
Yeah, yeah that's the whole point
but
of the movie.
Now I understand. Now I understand looking
how
back.
You could. Yeah, because he has all the good one-liners, but he's a real dick.
Oh, that scene where he
like,
says,
"I am the one." Or when he's
laughing. I know everyone talks about that, but it's such a great
scene.
It's
iconic. Or when he's laughing
like,
under
the
ground, you know, where he's like,
yeah.
he's like, ah. It's so
I thought that was a little overdone.
And Skyler is like looking at him like,
guys, I'm about to open a bag of chips and eat from it, so I'm sorry about that. Let's take a little break. Let's see how long we've been going for.
Probably a while.
Yeah. It feels like it's been a long time. We've been going for 46 minutes.
That's good.
Well, it's probably like 6 minutes off of that because
we only started it after I started recording.
Oh, it's probably like 15 minutes.
No, that wasn't 15 minutes. No way.
Did you pause it?
No, but I'm just saying, like, we'll take a little break.
Oh.
We'll continue the conversation about No Country for Old Men. We're back. This is
what?
Post intermission. I don't know how long we'll go on actually recording from this point on, but yeah. This
is
an attempt at the second part. We can keep talking.
Not on the same subjects.
Okay. Otherwise, I don't want to talk about the same subjects we were just talking about. I had some of my chips, so that's good. I'm sorry, this is going to be very short after the pause situation, but I think we kind of talked about the things we wanted to talk about.
I think so too.
And I personally don't really feel the state to kind of force myself back into that conversation.
Good point. Let's just keep talking a little bit and then we'll see how it goes.
Oh, I was going
to... Or you want to stop right now?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Okay, that's a fair point. Well, we're sorry for the long wait once again. I hope this isn't too much of an inconvenience.
Next episode will be a book review. We'll just do that so we can
get back into it. Yeah, probably a short story or something.
Short story or something like that. Or like 100 pages or less, something of that nature.
But yeah, glad to be back.
Yeah,
follow us in our social media, you know. We got Instagram.
Finally remembered.
We got Twitter.
We do have Twitter. Please follow us. Instagram as well. And you can listen to this on iTunes podcasts,
you know,
or
get the merch.
Or Anchor or Spotify even now. So
a lot of view possibilities.
Tell your friends.
Hope you're doing well, you know, wherever you may be.
Yeah, we hope you are. A lot of people actually listen, a lot more people than I would have anticipated listening.
Even people we don't know, probably.
Exactly, it has to be. Well, there's, I mean, obviously our family and whatnot listens to it.
We hope our voices soothe you, you know. Yeah.
We hope you're enjoying this wherever you are and that you enjoy the rest of your day or your evening
or
your night. Yeah,
have a great time, you know.
Yeah, and this was it from the Book Boys.
We'll see you next week.